I was zocher for 8 years. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I decided I need a Rebbe. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Haseh L'Charach. I have to make a Rebbe for myself. So one of my Rebbeim is my brother Shlita, who comes here actually once a week. He's an outstanding Talmud Chacham and Tzadik Yisrael Eilam. I'm happy he has your imprimatur. Your Haskama, Baruch Hashem. And then I decided I needed also, because when I told my brother, he became my Rebbe. My brother said, what are you talking about? He said to me, you are my Rebbe. We always have this debate. Of course, the debate is clear that he is the Rebbe and I'm the Talmud. And then he also tells me, S, Kabin S, what does the Gemara say in Ksubis? S, the Rabbi Sachich Agol. I'm older than he is, about 2 years. As a result, my brother feels he has a need to be Mechabit me. He comes to visit his Rebbe, I'm Yom Tovim, the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah. He's a little bit clearly daffy. They're passing the Belfry. But okay. If he wishes to do so, I'm not going to deny that, shall we say, that happiness. As a matter of fact, every time I came to Herzl before I lived here, who came to meet me at the airport? My brother. Not only that, any member of our family who came to Eretz Yisrael, my brother was at the airport. So I decided I'm not telling him anymore when I'm coming. I didn't want him to be matriarch himself to come and meet me at the airport, even though I did appreciate it very, very much. And my brother does not have a car and does not, shall we say, travel in style, unlike his other brother, who has a car. And one of my children asked me, Abba, did you ever go on a bus in Eretz Yisrael? He says, of course I did. So he said, like they asked him, how many times did you change diapers? Not exactly the same question, but the answer is not dissimilar. Whatever the case is, so I decided I need a Rebbe. I said the Chabad. So I then went around and decided to sample what's available here. And trust me, there's a lot available in Eretz Yisrael. And I came across a Rebbe in the old city. I go to Rebbe Nadav Sol Shlita, and I was absolutely taken by him. I decided for 8 years to go to his shmuzin, his sichot, which I published many of them in the brown or other color now, multicolored, if I'm not mistaken. Huh? I just recommend it very highly. It's a beautiful Hebrew. And so I used to go every Monday night at 10:30 that he would say a sicha after the seder was over in the yeshiva. At that time, the yeshiva was Shivat HaKotel. Then it became the Tavarye. I'm not sure exactly all the, shall we say, Harpatot around all this. I'm not getting involved in that. But anyway, so, and then what happened was that, I think the Sikha was from 10 to 10:30, sorry. And then at 10:30, I would, shall we say, to put it in simple English, I would hack him out China for 2 hours. I used to walk him, and then he told me, Rav David, I should not be malavah him. There's a din yet to malavah Tam Chochim, he's one of the Goli Ador. But I used to accompany him, even though he was not necessarily asking me for that accompaniment, that's for sure. But I did it anyway, because I like to stalk Adol Yisrael. Thank you very much. It's one of my pastimes and one of my enjoyments. Anyway, so I did that for 8 years. 8 years I stalked him. And I used to, sometimes even until 12 o'clock at night. I would come home at 1 in the morning, 1:15, 1:30. And I enjoyed that, so I developed a relationship with him. And then I had even more chutzpah. Once I had a yachas with him, so now I would call him up at any hour of the day and night. Now he's not so available. Unfortunately, his wife passed away a few months ago. His other son, she was a big tzaddikus. We used to go visit them every Yom Tov. But then I would call him up. One morning I called him at 4 a.m. I happened to be up, and I had something that bothered me, and I called him up. But who answered the phone? Instead of he answered the phone, his Rebbetzin answered the phone. That was not a good thing for me. So she said to me, right away she identified my voice. She said, I'm David. Yesh lecha shaon? Do I own a watch? So I wasn't sure, what should I say? I don't own a watch. I actually do own a watch. It doesn't always work. But at that time it was working. So I said to her, Baruch Yesh Yishon, the Kol Yehudi Yishon. Every Jew has a watch. She says, Tistakel, Ava Shaon Achshav, Matai. Ma Shah Achshav. What hour is it? So I looked at my wife, she says 4 o'clock. He says, Arba. I says, Aval Arba, Yechodot Achatzara and Gamke. 4 o'clock could be in the afternoon too. She says, ha ha. That's what her reaction was. Tistakel, Ayim ze Arba Achatzara or Arba Lefnot Boker. Of course, I had to admit, it was Arba Lefnot Boker. Lama Ata Mikasher Levali, Arba Lefnot Boker. Why are you calling him at 4 in the morning. I said, because I'm bothered by a shayla. And when I'm bothered by a shayla, I have to ask someone. So who do I ask? The girl on the door? She thought that was also quite amusing. She says, don't you think my husband has to sleep? So I said, I'll tell you the truth, I told her. I called him many times at this hour. And usually, he answers the phone, not you. And this time, unfortunately, I was caught that you answered the phone. As I ashamed because I didn't tell the telephone. Am I guilty because she answered the telephone? She thought it was also quite amusing. Anyway, she told me, do not call anymore at 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm reminded of another story, before I get to my point that I'm about to say, and that is that the other day I had a chance to meet my next-door neighbor, Amea Lichtenstein Shlita, the son of Avraham Lichtenstein Tzatzal, my Rebbe. His yahrzeit was just about a week ago, and I went to the Hespedim and the Shivat HaRetzion in the Gush, so I heard his... Amea Lichtenstein's mother, Avraham Lichtenstein's wife is Revitzin, Shashem Yarech Yamea, she had a Rechsionin, she must be a woman about 80 or so, young stuff, the daughter of Asal Ovechik. And so I heard her. She was outstanding. Beyond belief. I said to people around me, I told you, those who were never zochet to hear Asal Ovechik, so now they got a sample of what the Rav was all about by listening to his daughter. But I remember other aspects of her. This is what I told Amea Lichtenstein. I said, Amea Lichtenstein, he was 5 years old when I was in Rav Lichtenstein Shir, his father's Shir, 1968. 68, 69, 70. So he was 5 years old. So he used to come on Sunday to play ball. With his father. With his baseball hat and the bat, he used to come in. So of course we brought him to the shiur very quickly. I'll tell you why in a second. On Sunday he sat shiur for about 4 hours. He sat first a 2 hour shiur on the Gemara, and then a 2 hour shiur in Hashkafa. He dealt with different Hashkafing issues. But Rabbi Lichtenstein was not limited to 4 hours. He could go on beyond that without difficulty. I'm familiar with such people. Anyway, so the... So we, you know, we're also young. We're literally that age, your age. We didn't exactly necessarily have the capacity to listen to 4 hours of shiurim. So he would come into the shiur, towards the end of the shiur, and we quickly bring him to the front, bring him to his father's shiur. 120 guys, 130 guys. We bring him to his father, and there was one guy in the shiur, who's a chutzpan, shen kavo, he's still a chutzpan, ari amazeh. Chutzpan means he's a...
he's like me.
Chas v'shol. No one comes near you. I'm a special character. Anyway, so trust me, he was 10 times worse than you. You're literally, you relative to him, you know what you are? You are like a pussycat. The kids are so the chutzpah, a real chutzpah. So he would take Rameh Lichtenstein. I told him Rameh Lichtenstein. He actually remembers the story. I told him, and he would take him and says, "You tell him, take your bath and hit your father." Crazy. He's a crazy man. This man's a crazy man. I won't tell you his name. He's the Dua. Ali Omazeh is a crazy man. Okay. And he's ready. What? So, why am I telling this story? Rebbe Lichtenstein used to invite us for Hanukkah to our home. Rebbe Lichtenstein invited us. We used to come around 8 o'clock, and we were there around 1 o'clock in the morning. Rebbe Lichtenstein was such a sweet person, such a tzaddik, besides being a goyin. I told you, there was something about him. What was greater, his goyinus or his tzidkus? Was his righteousness greater, or his, shall we say, prodigious knowledge of Torah? He was a colossus, beyond belief. That's the only something I have about him. So what happened at 1 o'clock in the morning? At 1 o'clock, he's sitting there, he doesn't know how to throw you out. He doesn't have a clue. He could stay there the whole night. She says, Rebbe Zin Lichtenstein, Shashem Yarech Yavel, the one who spoke. She says, you wash the dishes. You sweep the floor. You! And she starts delivering orders like a general. I said, in the army, that's what I remember about her. I told Rebbe Zin Lichtenstein, he started laughing. It was just, that's what his mother was like. She's the daughter of the Rav. No nonsense. I said. Okay, why am I telling you all this? I'm back to Rav Eretzel. So I was lucky to hear the shmuz in Rav Eretzel for 8 years, and I want to share with you the shmuz that I heard from him in Parshat Bahar many years ago. But it remains indelibly imprinted in my mind. These days of Sfiras HaOmer that we just read about in last week's Parshat Emor, as you recall, are essentially days that are designed that we should, shall we say, go from one korban to another korban. What korban is brought? I discussed this. What korban is brought on Pesach? The korban that is called the Omer, which comes from what? Sorin, from barley. Mashenka, the carbon that's born on Shavuos, is what carbon? Shnei Alachem. That comes from what? Mechitin, wheat. What's the difference between Sorim and Mechitin? So Chazal says Sorim basically is Machal Daima. is, how do you translate that? Animal fodder. Correct? That which animals eat. Mashenken chitin is that which human beings have. There are many rise to this. By the way, one of the opinions in Gemara Sanhedrin, since we're learning Sanhedrin, I have to mention Sanhedrin every other moment. I mentioned two Gemaras now, Sanhedrin and Rachas. Anyway, so Sanhedrin, the Gemara said that one of the, according to one opinion, that the Eitz Hadas that was forbidden consisted of what?
Chita.
There are many other opinions. Rabban and Nemor, last week's Pasha, goes to another opinion. It's based on a Targum, Targum Onkelos. What opinion is that? That what was the, what are the other opinions in Gemara, if you remember? One is Teina, correct? One is Chita. One is?
Grapes,
excellent, Anavim. And there's another opinion which is based on the Targum, because the Targum says at the beginning of the Bereshis, when the Chava Suach, Atera Isha, Kitova Eitzel Machol, V'chisava Hulei Naim, so the Targum translates, Kitova Eitzel Machol, V'chitava Hulei Naim, Demir Gag Lemechze. Mir Gag is Lashon Esrog, said the Ramban. So another opinion is that it was the Esrog. That's what they ate from the Esrog tree. Okay, but I say all this simply because between Pesach and Shavuos, I think you mentioned to me, Rav Batwinik, I already gave him smicha. So anyway, so you mentioned to me, and my brother just the other day, Rabban, Rabban and Nemor, right, said, between Pesach and Shavuos, those days are called, said the Rabban, what are they called?
Cholamoim.
He told me I should discuss this issue, that's why. This is not part of Rabbi Nevzal, now I'm just going off the topic a little bit. I don't want to really spend time on that, I'll discuss it privately, but the Rabban calls these days Cholamoim. And the Rabban goes further, calls Shavuos, Atzar to the Pesach. Shavuos is the Atzeres of Pesach. Generally, the term Atzeres in the Torah stands with reference to which Yom Tov? Number one? Which Yom Tov are called Atzeret? Adin Atzeret? Shmini Atzeret? Why is Shmini Atzeret called Shmini Atzeret? What is it in Atzeret to? Atzeret to?
Sukkot.
Is it a separate Yom Tov or not a separate Yom Tov? Machlok is between whom and whom? The Gemara says it's a separate Yom Tov that got me six items. Pizar Kishar. So he's referring to Yitzhak, the Machlok actually takes it all of Shas. And what is Pizar Kishar? Very good. Pizar said, right. It's a machlokes, what Pizar Kishar is. It's a machlokes Rashi Tesis. What the six items are, where Shmini Atzeres is not part of, shall we say, the Yom Tov. So it's separate, I'm not getting into that right now. What else is called Atzeres besides Shmini Atzeres? What? Shavuos. Why Shavuos called Atzeres? Why is the term Atzeres used for Shavuos? By the way, does the Torah use the term Shavuos? Is that term mentioned in Chumash? Does the term mention the Yom Tov of Shavuos Michlal? Is it mentioned by name? Is it somehow identified by its own nomenclature? Is it? The answer is no. Correct? So how do we know what Shavuos is? The answer is, what did we say in last week's Parsha? What did the Torah say? We count 49 days. That's how we know that the 50th day is what? It's Shavuos. When the Omer is no longer brought, that's what on Pesach, Shavuos is being the Shavuos Lachem, we craft the Mikra Chavosh of Hashem. And that's how we know it's Shavuos. Shavuos is called Atzeres. So why is it called Atzeres? So the Ramban says in that piece that my brother was referring you to, in Emor, Shavuos is Atzar to the Pisco. It's sort of the climax after the 49 days of Pesach, Atkid and Kach, there's Gemara Shoshanah, but the Gemara's Mashmah, it's also Medrash Chazal, that by counting 49 days, that's how we establish the Yom Tov Shavuos. It's not its own Yom Tov, unless we what? We count. Anyway, this period of time, as you know, because what happened, the Gemara says in Yevamos, who died during this period of time? The Talmidim of? Why did they die? Shalonagu Kavod Zilazeh. They didn't treat each other with the proper cover. And because of that, this is a period of time where we have to be misakin on midos. We have to try to improve our character, our personality. And so that, on that topic, our goyim, Moreno Rabbeinu, I've never so sleep to address this topic when I heard him speak on Pasha Bahar this many years ago, but these ideas are almost indelibly embedded in my mind. So I want to share with you a number of things he said. Looking first, Vayikra, Yama Chumash, Vayikra Chavei, Lamed Hei. And this is Pasha, Tera Chavei, Pasha Lamed Hei, which is found on pagination 314, or otherwise page 314. I just like the word pagination. I enjoy it. It's a word which is used in academia. Those who are in academic circles, which I don't really travel in, but I dabble in shikl in academia in my days, unlike my brother Shlita, who did not dabble in anything except the Liman Atera. That's why he's a big lamlin, a big tzaddik, and his brother is, shall we say, whatever he is. Anyway, but here on the bottom of 314, on Perachafei Pasal Amenei, look at this pasal. V'chiyamach achicha, can anyone translate? I'll translate for you. V'chiyamach achicha, your brother, Yamuch. Yamuch in the sense of what? What happened to him? If you look at the Targum, Yit Maskein. He basically becomes poor. Mach, the word mach. Umach achicha, it's found in Chumash, means that he is, his situation, economic situation, has taken a downturn. Umata yado imach. So now what does the Torah say? Since he's in a down word trajectory economically. He's not doing well. Umata yado imach, what should you do? You should obviously, your hand should be extended with him to help him. Vechazaktabo, what's the deal? What are we obligated to do?
To strengthen him,
support him. Ger v'tosha v'chayimach. He mentions specifically, now Rashi has a very beautiful comment. Lamed hey, look at Rashi. Vechazaktabo, al tanichei sheyere v'yipol. V'yei kosher l'kaimah. Once a person is down, that is to say, TKO, is that what you call it? Technical knockout. In the first round, so that obviously is nothing to talk about. So you don't wait to that point. What do? What does the Torah say you're supposed to do? Pick him up before he completely falls. Correct? That's what Rashi says. Don't let him fall totally, but rather, chaskeu mishas motasya. The moment he begins to falter, the moment he begins to fall, that's when you should go ahead. Rashi gives a mashal to a burden on top of a chamor. When it's still in the chamor, so then obviously several people can come and help somehow steady it, correct? Once it's on the floor, then you need 20 people to pick it up. So make sure it doesn't fall. Make sure before he actually falters, you go ahead and help him. So the Torah, and Rashi quotes this from Chazal, because obviously once a person economically has declared chapter 13, once he's bankrupt, then it's much more difficult to assist him than when he's still, shall we say, in the midst of some economic downturn, but still he's not chas v'shalom at the point where he's totally without any resources. Now, how should you help him? So the Torah tells us, and now I'm just going to take a little tour of Chumash, if you don't mind. Look at Pasuk Mishpatim and Shmos, and this is also a well-known series of Pesukim. This is found over there in Perek Chavdeis in Mishpatim. Look at Perek Chavdeis. It's in Shmos. I'll tell you the Pasuk in a second. Perek Chavdeis, Pasuk Chavdalit. Page 184. Okay? The Torah tells you, everyone have it? In kesef talveh et ami. This, by the way, is a striking pasuk because the Torah presents it as if it's not an obligation. But here, as you know, Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara as well, the Gemara points out that generally the word im in the Torah, what does im always refer to? Im, for example, in the sugya of the Tanai B'Negov B'Rumein, im is Lashon Tanai. But every im in the Torah always refers to Rishus. Is always an option, with the exception of three. Three times the word im is used in Chumash, and it's an obligation. This is one of them. Namely, what does the Torah say? In keset talveh sami. What should you do to a person who is, shall we say, in dire need, in economic penury, in straight circumstances? Straight means S-T-R-A-I-T, like the straits of Dov Nails. Anyway, so, I probably could not tell you that, but I can. Anyway, so the, in keset talveh sami. What does that mean? To lend him, correct? Give him a loan. That's what the Torah says. Esa'ani imach. Don't breathe down his back. Of course, it should be without what? Interest. Neshach means something that bites you. And it's very fascinating, the language of the pasuk. It says, Es ha'ani imach. Why doesn't it say Es ha'ani? What's this language? Es ha'ani imach. My father was always very bothered, Allah Shalom, by these kinds of expressions. He says, if you lend money to your nation, Es ha'ani imach, the poor person with you. What kind of a language is that? What should the Torah have said? Esani, you lend money to a poor person. Rashi immediately is bothered by this question. So Rashi says over here the following. Says Rashi, look at yourself as you are the one who is in privation, as if you are suffering, as if you are the ani. And what you would want someone to do for you, if you were an ani, that's what you should do to the other person. And else you have to feel the other person's plight. You have to commiserate with his circumstances. Ima anochi b'tzara. Or if you remember the Gemara in Shabbos, with Hillel, if you go like Gemara, the Gemara says, Dialoch sani l'chavach alosavit. That which is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. Or, if you will, even better, the best example is in Parshas Emor, rather, Kedoshim, sorry, that we just read recently, 2 weeks ago. The Torah uses the language which the Ramban comments on page 297, Perek Yutes Pasuk Yudches. If the Torah has a whole list of negative commandments. Look in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes. Losika, losika, spinei amecha. V'yahavta, l'recha, kamocha, ani Hashem. What's that mitzvah, v'yahavta, l'recha, kamocha? Both the Rambam in Mishnah Torah and the Ramban in the Perash HaChumash interpreted the following way. By the way, they're medayik in the Pasuk. The Torah should have said, not v'yahavta, l'reyacha. What would have been more proper Hebrew? How should have said v'yahavta? Et reyacha, correct. Such as, where else do we have such a language? V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. So why does the Torah use the language of Yahavta? Lirayacha kamocha. Yes, the Ramban. What's the answer? Okay, he had to have a little knowledge of Dikta, but even without knowledge of Dikta, you can answer the question. Namely, what's the distinction between V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha or V'yahavta L'Reyacha? Says the Rabban, there's no way that a person could love somebody else more than he loves himself. Trust me, I love myself more than I love anybody else. Would you not say so? And I imagine the same applies even to two holy gentlemen from Florida. I imagine you understand that. When it comes to Hashem Yisbarach, the Torah said, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. What kind of an Abba is that? The Abba should be an Abba, which is what? What do you call it?
Unconditional.
Unconditional. How do we know that? From what? Gemara Tzadhed and Tafayin Dalam and Alf. What does the Gemara say over there? We have to Sashem Elokecha. That means even to the point where you're ready. Give him your life for Hashem is Barach. As Rashi says on this, Shalom Tivirenu, Baba is Kachamim. Call that Rashi. So that is why the Torah says we have to ask Hashem Elokecha. Here the Ramban says, L'Reyacha. But the Ramban defines what is the mitzvah? And the Rambam says it's also Mishnah Torah. The mitzvah is that you should treat others the way you would want to be treated yourself. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a very significant aspect when it comes to, shall we say, individuals who are, Rahman al-Islam, suffering from penury, from poverty. That's how we have to see them. We have to see them. Ki'ilu, as Rashi says back in the Pasha Mishpatim, Evi nistakal ba'atzmecha ki'ilu ata ani, as if you are the poor person. Ima anochi bitzara. That's why the Torah uses one language. One language does it use? One word, which is seemingly superfluous. Which word? Imach. What does imach mean? And by the way, now go back to the pasuk that we started with today in Bahar. What does the Torah say over there in that pasuk in Bahar? The pasuk that I read for you at the very beginning, namely, Perakate pasuk lamedhe. V'chiyamu chachichu umata yado imach. At the end of the pasuk, V'echzakta bogem v'sosho v'chai imach. Next pasuk, lamed vav. Atikach me'ito neshim v'sabi v'esim v'elgav v'chei achicha. Doesn't that word appear a bit too often? And there's no question that the Torah, exactly the way Rashi presented it, the Torah is sensitive to the sensibilities of others. If someone is in a straitened circumstance, so you have to feel, you are with him, you are literally sharing their plight, sharing their misfortune, and therefore, that is the kind of attitude that one has to have. There's a very fascinating comment in Megillas Rus. In Rus, if you take a look, where are the Megillas family over here? Here it's at the end of, in my Chumash, you have it at the end of Shmos?
Yeah.
I have it here in this Chumash, in this red Chumash. There's a difference in the red one and the right one.
I
have it at the end of Dvarim. The end of, after Zos HaBracha, right after Zos HaBracha is Megillas Rus. Thank you, okay. And I have it in the 520.
Yeah.
Take a look at the pasuk over here, Perek Beis, pasuk Yutes. Very interesting. When, if you remember, Rus HaMoaviyah, so Nomi asks her the following question. By the way, is Kedai to learn Megillas Rus before which Yom Tov? Why? Why does the Medrash say that Megillas Rus is connected to Shavuos? So the Medrash has the following language, Lerov Zecheinu Levracha, that's Marein Rabbeinu Hagoyim Mahon Arav Zatzal. That's all mentioned. We quote him here in the Yeshiva a lot, and I cite him often since I was able to learn by him for many, many years, Baruch Hashem. I'm not really worthy of being a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, but I sat in a seat somehow. I just occupied the seat over there. Anyway, so the Rav used to quote this Medrash many, many times. The Medrash said, this Megillah, Ein ba lo tumah ba lo tara, doesn't have anything about tumah and tara. And somehow it seems to be devoid of dinim. It's not completely true. There are dinim that I mentioned in Megillas Rus. For example, one famous din, a famous kinyan that's not found kinyan anywhere in Tanakh except for Megillas Rus is kinyan. A kinyan that applies to Balkak and Metalpolin. Which kinyan is that? Where you pull a handkerchief, as it were, and all of a sudden I sell to the Brooklyn Bridge. Even though I'm here in Yerushalayim. What kinyan is that called? Suda. Khalifa. Excellent. That kinyan is found here in Megillas Rus. But the man says, Ein ba lo tumah ba lo tara, lo this lo that, so lama niyichdal. Why is it written? To teach us how much tzchar Hashem gives to those who are gomlei chasodim. Where do we see chesed in the Megillah? In the Megillah of Rus, who is considered to be the proponent of chesed par excellence? The answer is Boaz, number one. Number two, Rus. She said, now I want to show you a question. Naomi asked Rus the following question. Look at Perek Beis, pasuk Yutes. And when I read, in my pagination, it's 522. What is it in yours?
526,
617. Okay, look at one of those two. paginations, Rashi Rabin. I had a professor who loved that word. And so that's what I think that's the only thing I learned from that professor, was the word pagination. I always say in yeshiva, at least I taught one word, pagination. I also teach English along the way. I actually did teach English in Bronx Community College. I took over from someone who unfortunately became ill, and he needed someone to replace him. And so I taught English in Bronx Community College. Bronx is a borough of New York City. Allah shalom. It's here. So look at Parakeet Tes Pasuk Beis. Batomer lo chamosa. What happened? Her mother-in-law told her, Eifo li katat hayom, where did you gather today? What was she gathering? What mitzvah was she being mekayim? Boaz. Like a shikopei, we just had a pasuk recently. Where did you gather? Vana seed, what did you do? Yimakirek baruch, let the one who obviously, shall we say, your benefactor, let him be blessed. Batagila chamosa, esa sher osa ima. So she told her mother-in-law, now read the next three words that I just read, four words. What did she tell her mother-in-law? What she did with him. What? Am I hearing straight? My father was very sensitive to everything in the text. What should it have said? What? Who did for whom? Who did for whom?
He did for her.
Who's he? Boaz. Who is her? Ruth. And what does the Navi say? Not like that. What does the Navi say? Esa Sharasa Saimo. What she did for him. What, are we crazy? What, have we gone off the deep end? What, do you have bats in the belfry? Wow, no? You hear the problem? What's the answer, of course? The answer, of course, is, as the Gemara says, the Alkut, I believe. The Gemara beginning of Shabbos. You learned the Shabbos, the first Mishnah, all these funny cases with Hanukkah, Akira, correct? And back and forth, you know, in and out. You know the whole business, the first Mishnah Shabbos? So Chazal say, Hotzah, thank you. Yosef, Mimashah, Balabayis, Eisim, Ha'oni, Ha'oni, Eisim, Balabayis. More than what? Than the Balabayis does for the Oni does for the Balabayis. What does that mean? And that's apparently shot over here. What does that mean? Okay, the Balabayis gives the Oni a little bit of Eilam Hazeh. But you know what the Oni gives the Balabayis? Eilam Haba. That's a pshat in this pasuk. She did for him. It's not the simple pshat. I'm asking, okay, you look at me with your quixotic kind of consternation. But I'm just saying, I understand that, why you're acting the way you are. But you hear that what I'm saying? You hear the pshat in the pasuk? By the way, there's a Gemara about Vassar, Gemara Daf Yud, famous Gemara. The Gemara has a conversation between Tunas Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. You know Tunas Rufus? It sounds like okay. I'm on tape, I gotta control myself. There was a terrible Russia named Tunas Rufus. In the Roman period of time, the contemporary Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said to Tunas Rufus, he asked the Kasha the following question. Tunas Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, if your God loves Aniyim, if he loves the poor people, so why does he not give them Parnasa? You ever hear this question? It's a legitimate question. Why does Hashem provide panas of Aniyim? It says Hashem loves Aniyim. Where does it say Hashem loves Aniyim? When the Torah speaks about those who are unfortunate individuals, whom does it say Hashem loves? He loves, number one? The Chumash, what?
Widows.
He loves?
Widows.
Who does he love?
Orphans.
Excellent. Where does it say that? I don't know if you can show me the pasuk, but who else did the Torah speak about Hashem who loves them, these unfortunate people? Almanos, Yisomim, who else?
Gerim.
Excellent. There's a mitzvah of Asagir. The Gemara says that the Mishloshim, Mishisha, Mekamos, Mishira, Torah, Adra, Asagir. You can't, God forbid, cause any kind of Rahman al-Sat. A woman who's whose husband is a Ger just asked me the following question. I know him for many years. This Ger is an outstanding person. So he always asked me, should I tell people I'm a ger? I said, no. What? He learns Chumash. What, I shouldn't tell people I'm a ger? Then they'll, how do you have to treat a ger with tenderness? I think I told you the following story. You didn't hear it because you were busy, basking in the refulgence of Florida. But I'm just saying, but I did tell the following story. I'm sitting in the shir in our celebration, and there were these two guys in the shir who said, I'm not exaggerating, the most stupid things in the world. I couldn't believe that they would open up their mouth and just say, I'm not allowed to say what I'm about to say. You know, sometimes I'm not referring to these two chas v'shalom. And the pasuk chumash vayitzach Hashem espi also. Hashem opened up the mouth of the donkey. So these two weeks being, I said, but what is going on here? I was afraid to open up my mouth. I did open up my mouth once or twice, and trust me, I needed 6 months to recover convalescence with six psychiatrists. Yet the doctor took care. Anyway, so I didn't open up my mouth unless I thought about it for 6 weeks and discussed it with 78 Talmidei Chachamim to make sure that I was on target. And then I would say something, and then the Rav would cut me down anyway. But whatever the case is, these two could talk freely. And they could say things that were absolutely outlandish. I said, what is going on here? And had the Rav treat them? The Rav said, interesting, very interesting what you're saying. Very interesting. What do you mean? He should have said, not very, very stupid, but very interesting. I said, what is going on? I say something. I say, wonders. I say, good svaris. And I said, legend cuts me to pieces. And these two say, dvarim mitupashim. The silliest things in the world. Then I investigated. I discovered they were gerim. The Rav knew. I didn't know that. The guys in the shiur didn't know that either. Gerim. Oh, you don't touch a gerim. You just take everything he says and you turn it into gold. Gold nuggets, different tenor that are unbelievable. That's what I'm saying. But what about I? I have to be, shall we say, subjected to all kinds of... I became neurotic. As a result of our salvation, it was the best thing that happened to me. I remember every night, of course you did stop learning, because there was a period of time, I told you, I read the Gemara in the Shir, and I read for 6 months. I was literally a wreck. Not a Shrek, a wreck. I could not function. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't drink. I just sat and learned all day and all night to prepare for the Shia. And it didn't help me much. Whenever I called on to read, so then the Rav would ask me a question, and I would say something, and he would have what to say, etc., etc. Once I said a good svar, I said, what? You said something intelligent. How can it be? Anyway, so Gerim have to be treated in a certain kind of way. Back to the Rabbi Kiva to the Zoom's discussion. So the Gemara said, Mabasa Dav Yud, the Gemara said, he asked him, namely, to the Zoom, he said, Rabbi Kiva, if Hashem loves Aniyim, why doesn't he give them Parnasa? So Rabbi Kiva answered, in order that we should be saved, Midina Shal Gehenem. We. Who's we? Those who are Mechuyah to do what? To give Tzedakah to Aniyim, we should be saved, Midina Shal Gehenem. No, through the mitzvah Tzedakah, we are saved from Gehenem, with Zerchah to Elam Haba. So that's the chat of this pasuk. You understand what I'm saying? Pasuk says, "Eis asher asa sa'imo," that which she did with Boaz. So this issue of giving tzedakah to aniyim, or in general, really being sympathetic to aniyim, is a gemara babasa. Actually, Xerox the gemara. The gemara says the following: "Hanosi pruta l'ani. If you give a pruta to an ani, misbarach v'sheish brachas. You are blessed with six brachas." If you give it to him in a very nice kind of way, very pleasantly, then you'll receive how many? 11 brachas. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "V'safik l'roi nafshecha v'zarach v'chol shecha recha v'nachacha Hashem tomid." There are 11 brachas mentioned in this pasuk. Obviously, the point is that one is supposed to give tzedakah to an oni, and obviously, but do so in a very nice kind of fashion, in a very pleasant kind of way. I give you an example. Whenever I see this Gemara, I remind myself of the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin, yes. The Gemara that talks about how the mitzvah kivud avayim, and the Gemara speaks about a guy who, one guy went ahead and his father wanted some, strawberry shortcake. I don't know if the Gemara mentions that. I have to like strawberry shortcake. Someone once actually, I haven't had strawberry shortcake in, I didn't have it for a number of years. I asked one of my chaverim, he's come to Eretz Yisrael. I didn't think he was going to do it. He brought me an entire strawberry shortcake. I don't believe it. I ate one of the strawberry shortcake, and of course I ate the whole thing, the basachas, at one time. I liked it so much, and then I had a stomach ache for 2 weeks. But kids, I have to like strawberry shortcake. I don't eat it often. So, the Gemara says that you can either take pisioni, remember the sugya pisioni? You can take the pheasant and give it to your parents. Your father likes pheasant. Let's say he likes steak, okay? So you can take it, the two ways of giving you steak. Either you can serve the steak in a nice platter in a beautiful way, or you can take the steak and stuff it in his mouth. So, of course, which of you do? The former, not the latter. That's pretty obvious. But what the Gemara is saying is that kibbut aveim, it's tzvedinim. There's a dialectic. Kibbut aveim. There's the maisa mitzvah. Did I fulfill the mitzvah in the second way when I stuffed it in his face? Of course I did. Namely, what's the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim? La'achilo, la'hashkei, so to give him to eat, give him to drink. I get to eat. I stuffed it in his face. You know, like they used to have years and years ago, decades ago, you know, where they had those programs with, who is it? The Three Stooges, that's correct. That's what I remember. The Three Stooges, you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
You know, they have pies in their face and all kinds of stuff. So at the end of the day, you gave the guy a pie, you gave your father a pie. You stuffed it in his face. Are you the kind of mitzvah fully? I would say definitely not. The vice mitzvah you did, but the key of my mitzvah is supposed to be done in a nice bakavadika fashion. That leaves a little bit to be desired as far as the bakavadika part. You understand what I'm saying? Here also, the same idea. An ani. You can give an ani, and how do you give it? There are two ways of giving an ani. Here, take that money. You blankety blankety blank. Don't bother me, don't. They say over, they tell over the following story. I don't know the source of the story, but I heard this in one of the Hasidim. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik many, many years ago when he was Lipster. A Meshulach once came to the Rav in Boston. A Meshulach is, how do you translate? Meshulach. There's someone who needed assistance. What?
Collector.
A collector, thank you. That's the right word. A collector came to the Rav in Boston, and he was tired and haggard from going around the whole day, except he knocks on the door, and it was on the very rare moments where Rav Soloveitchik was not there with his Rebbetzin, Zechen and Bracha. She wasn't there. I think one of his grandchildren was there. Anyway, he answered the door himself, and the guy says to Rav Soloveitchik, in Yiddish, this whole conversation is in Yiddish, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm haggard, I had a bad day, etc. So the Rav invites him in, Rav Soloveitchik. And then the guy says, I need some money. The Rav takes out of his pocket. This is apparently a grandchild reporter. What was ever in his pocket? He had a $100 bill. His pocket, he gave him $100. Which is, by the way, not a typical Rav Soloveitchik at all. A tremendous Baltzlocker. Unbelievable Baltzlocker. A few moments later, the guy says, Ich bin sehr hungry. I'm very hungry. So the Rav's wife prepared a meal for him. The Rav took the meal and gave him the meal. His whole meal. His own meal. His own supper. The Rav didn't eat probably a lot. That's for sure, probably his only meal during the day, if that. And they gave it to him. A few moments later, the guy says that he finishes the meal in front of Rav Soloveitchik. He says to the Rav, ich muss auf einen Trunk. I need a drink. He tells Rav Soloveitchik, he says, was willst du, what do you want? So the guy says, ich will soda. I want soda. The Rav didn't know what soda was. They didn't have a clue. What is soda? I said, what is this soda that you're talking about? By the way, in Boston, they called what?
Pop.
And Chicago also, they call pop. What do they call it in Florida?
Soda.
Anyway, Boston and Chicago are somehow separate halacha. Anyway, so the Rav is trying to figure out what in heaven's name does this guy want? What exactly does he want? So finally, the guy starts, he's trying to be masbit to Rav Soloveitchik, what is this soda? So finally, he tells him, he gets an idea. Oh, he says, what is soda? Soda is tseva, vasim et abyssal tseva. Water with a little coloring. So the Rav's trying to figure out what the rest of the water said. Bleach? What is that? Das Trinkman? That's what you drink? Bleach? So this went on and on and on until finally I said, oh, you will help me pop. That's what you want. Oh, pop. So the guy said, yeah, that's what I want, pop. Rav says, me trink nicht kein pop. In mitten von Woche, in the middle of the week, who drinks pop? We only drink pop by chasimis. At a chasim, we drink pop. And the Rav kind of rare did not come to my house. I drink pop every 5 minutes, but I'm just saying, but the Rav drank pop only on chasimis. So he said, what do I offer? Chasim, a water. Mayim kovim al nefesh hayefa, the pasuk says. Called water on a tired soul. Anyway, Rav Soloveitchik was a big machtis orech. I mean, usually he didn't answer the door, somehow his wife wasn't there. And, you know, he'd give you the shirt off his back if he wasn't, usually I'm by himself. The point that I'm trying to make over here is that how do you treat an ani? The idea is not just to do the mitzvah mitzvah, give him what to eat, give him what to drink, such as your father and mother, but also how you go about doing it. It's the mitzvah mitzvah, and then there's what? The kiyama mitzvah. What does the kiyama mitzvah mean? The spirit that accompanies the mitzvah. The way you are kind of mitzvah has to be accompanied with the simcha and has to be done with great joy, great festivity, etc., etc. I just want to point out something which is very fascinating to me. In Shmos Chaf Gimel again, also related to this topic, I told you there are three parshas in Chumash by now you should know that are difficult for the following reason, that we don't understand the connection between one pasuk and the next. So the three parshas are Mishpatim, parsha number 2, Kedoshim, parsha number 3, Kiseitzet. Do you have any of the parshas, those two? No. Okay, I'm sorry. So Baruch Hashem, you're in good shape. Which is your Bar Mitzvah parsha?
Ayesha.
What a beautiful parsha. Wow. Yours?
Tolos.
Tolos, wow, you're nearby. Very good. Did you attend yourself by business? Chad, were you there?
How did that
really?
We did.
Oh,
wow.
Guys, I'm just late coming.
Right, better late than ever. You're better than I am, that's for sure. What was I about to say? Yes, that's back in the question. Thank you. So in the Shmatim here, Chav Gimel, look at Chav Gimel Pasuk Tes. My father was very bothered by this. Begir lo silchas. Everyone have page 185 in my pagination. Begir lo silchas. What you should not do, do not oppress a ger, as we mentioned a moment ago. The atem yidatem is nefesh ager. You know the nefesh. What does nefesh mean? You know the
feelings.
Excellent. The feelings of the ger. Ki gerim ha'yisa b'yar mitzvah. You a ger in mitzvah? You know what it means to be a ger. Yeah. Oh, that's what I was about to tell you, the story. And I skipped it. Then he said, this ger, whom I spoke about, let's finish it. He, when he became a ger, and I was present when he became a ger, he then decided to learn. He couldn't read Aleph Beis. So he said, I'll learn Aleph Beis. So he learned Aleph Beis. It took him a few months. He learned Aleph Beis, and then he told me, I have to start learning Halacha. So which Halacha did he decide to learn? Hilchos Erevin. He spent 6 years learning Hilchos Erevin. He had an English rishabura. And the problem was that I was the rabbi in the shul that he davened in, and that rabbi was in bad shape. Every day he came to me, what does this word mean? 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 In 6 years, he learned Hilchos Erevin Baal Peh. I do not know Hilchos Erevin, but he knows it. He knows Hilchos Erevin by heart. The moment I saw him, I ran for my life. I still run for my life. But he's a ger, so I couldn't run for my life. So first I started running, and I realized he's a ger. I had to run back. And so I was stuck. Pumped, stuck. So it says, the ger lo silchats. Ki atem yidatem is never shager. Don't oppress a ger. You know what a ger means to be a ger. Anyway, they asked me, they have a child who's in Shiduchin. Are we obligated to inform the prospective girl that his father's a ger? So I answered, yes, but not by the way. Why? Because people don't treat ger properly. So after the third day, fourth day, when things seem to be moving ahead, maybe at that point, for sure you're mechuyav to say, no question about it. But not by the way. Okay, that's a separate discussion. Maybe we'll, if you remind me, we can have it. I'm back over here. Here's what I'm interested in. Look at the Torah says. And my father will show him then again, Yonatan, you see what I mean. What's the pasuk that follows this? 6 years you shall sow the field, gather the tuah. Vashvius, the seventh year, which of course is called what year? You should abandon the field, leave it after. V'yochel adyomi anecha. Who's that? Let the aniyem eat. V'yisom tochol hayas asoda king tassel kamechol azizah. So of course my father was bothered. Ma'inyan shmita itzal har Sinai. What does this have to do with the price of tea in China? We start with talking about what? Don't oppress a ger. And what do we say a second later? Observe shmita. What is the Torah written by a bunch of... You understand the problem? Absolutely wacky. What's the kesher between Shemitah and the Issa? By the way, in Mishpatim, Kimat Avi Pasuk, you have to ask this kasha. Who's bothered by these kashas? The Ramban. Very disturbed by these kashas. But you should be disturbed by it. And the Chalal, if the Torah is describing the mitzvah of Shemitah, why do we mention it? It says here, V'yachlu av yomi ambecha, the idea of hefker. V'yisam, what about all the other Isurim of Shemitah? Namely, where are the other Isurim of Shemitah found in which parasha? Bahar. You know Bahar? The parasha that we're talking about now? Namely, the Issa Malacha, Shemitah Stopin. Why does the Torah Dafka focus only on one aspect of the Shemitah? Namely, the Hefker aspect of the Shemitah. So what's the answer? So I hear from HaGoyin Rav Nevesel Shlita the following answer. He said that the Torah wants to stress the Hargosha of the Ger. Namely, the Pasuk said right before, what does it say? Ki Ger HaYisa the Eretz Mitzrayim. What about the Evyon? What is an Evyon? What's between an Ani and an Evyon? Which one is worse? Evyon. Evyon is Toyev Lakol. He has nothing. He's penniless. An Ani perhaps has is a Mishnah Peah. You probably are familiar with Mishnah Peah. Tells you exactly how much a person has to have in order to be declared to be an Ani. But an Evyon is Toyev Lakol. Someone who is penniless. So the answer is, here the Torah talks about, well, look at the Pasuk. What does the Torah say? That how are you supposed to know how the Evyon feels? The answer, of course, is 6 years you're going to sow your field, and you're going to gather the Torah. The 70 is going to be what? Shemitah, and you'll abandon your property. V'achol ef yoni amecha. V'yisram. What does V'yisram mean? How do you translate the word Yisram? The others. Who are the others? Say Chazal, to Yushalmi Shrius. The others are Jews who are not of yoni amecha. It means the wealthy people. What happens to wealthy people and poor people on the Shemitah year? They're all equal. There's no difference between ev yonim and ashirim on the Shemitah year. We all go down and gather peros in the Sodeh as if we are ev yonim, as if we are what? Poor people. And that's how we'll know to be margish the nefesh ha'evyon. Not only nefesh ha'ger, but also nefesh ha'evyon. You hear what that memorial said? That's the connection. Gadi is a beautiful connection. That's just, I see and realize what time it is, as usual. That's where we're just starting. Unquestionably, this feeling that one should have towards aniyim, towards gerim, but I'll give you even a better example. There's someone, let's say, in yeshiva, who perhaps is not as strong as you in learning, who's having difficulty, who's struggling. What is achir? To help him. Ve'achzaktava. Help him. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how, has a tshuva where he says, ma'asek sofim, you know, it's been a ma'asek sofim, ma'asek ta'asek, the pashtu vei, a gemara in tainis, a tesis in tainis, a dinish alach. And it says, alach is that you can test Hashem. You can test Hashem when it comes to tzedakah. Ha'yukresu lechem bracha, ha'bili dai, Hashem will give you bracha to no end. So Rav Moshe says, ma'asek sofim, you know you fulfill? Give a person who's not as strong as you learn, you give him an hour of your time and learn with him and be mechazik. That's also feeling for someone else who doesn't have the kochas that you have. That's a very significant aspect of tikkun hamidos between Pesach and Shavuos. Halavai, we should accept, take upon ourselves to be mesaken that particular midah, to feel the angst, to feel the pain of those who are not, shall we say, as matzliach as we are, or those who don't have the wherewithal that we have, and if we do so, then we can enter Shavuos and be mekabel the Torah at the high.